Today's daf is Chulin Daf Lamed. Today's shiur is dedicated in the memory of Zissel Bat Yisrael Yitzchak, Sylvia Gornish. We're learning her memory today. Yesterday, we ended with a machloket about whether we say Yeshna L'Shchita Mitchila V'Atsof or Eina L'Shchita Ela V'Atsof. Do we say that Shchita, the whole time you're dealing with the Shchita, that's considered part of the Shchita, and the Shchita kicks in right away? Or is the beginning sort of just considered as preparatory, and when you actually do the very last moment of Shchita, that's when the Shchita starts? So we brought in a Para Aduma case. So basically, we started with a question on the Shita of Yeshna, the Shchita Mitchila V'Atsof. And we said, what about the Para Aduma? It says if you start the Shchita and then you mess up the Shchita, it's not Metame Begadim, whether you were dealing with it beforehand or whether you were dealing with it after, which should sound like Eina L'Shchita El Levasof, because it only kicks in at the end. To that, Rava said, what are you talking about? That's a case where Nitz Kalkela Shchita. And that's why Eina L'Shchita El Levasof, and then there is no Sof. When there's no Sof, there's no Hatchala. And if you never finish the Shchita properly, then the beginning of Shchita doesn't count. He says, you can't prove it from there. But if you're going to ask a question, what's your question? The question is, in a case where the para was a good para, okay, now the source that they quoted was Mishnah Mesachet Parah, Kolos Kim Parah Mitchila V'Atsof Matami Begadim, and then it talked about what if he rabba psul. That was all talking about that it was there. They were making these distinctions. In which case, if the Hazaah gets messed up, then the people who were dealing with it before would be problematic, but the people after wouldn't be tummy. So he says, Rava says, this is my question, though. What about a case when the para was actually shechted properly? What if two people shechted it, right? Then the first person, if you'd say, Eina l'shchita ela l'vasof, then the first person should not be tameh, but the second person would be, and then it didn't distinguish there. Okay? So he basically says, I have a question from this source on Eina l'shchita ela l'vasof, because it didn't make that distinction. That seems to indicate that we wouldn't say that. So then Rav Yosef says, what are you talking about? Trei gavre b'chad zivcha isn't. There's no such thing. We already said that earlier in the daf, that two people can't shech the same animal for kodshim, and therefore, of course, this would never happen, and therefore, that's why the Mishnah didn't mention it. So now we're going to start from the bottom, three lines from the bottom. Amar le Abaye, lav itmar la, wasn't it said about that? Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zo divrei Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, stimata'a. Okay, that's Rashi says, what's this stimata'a? Stim means from stam. It has no author. Sheyesh mishnah b'raita harbe she'amar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon u'regilim ha'tana'im l'sadram v'mishnah b'lashon stam. V'hai stam ha'ditizbachu nami amara. Okay, so he says, Rabbi Yochanan had a mesoret that mishnah that we quoted about the two people can't do it. That's Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Aval chachamim omrim. Okay, that's our next Mishnah, by the way, that we're going to see today. Okay, that upcoming Mishnah that we're going to see is all Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, which means Chachamim and Chachamim disagree, which means that, right, Chachamim omrim, Shnaim shochatim zevach achad. Okay, they in fact can, in which case Rabbi's question stands. Okay, so Rabbi's question is back in, saying it can't, if there was really Eina l'shchita ela l'vasof, then they would have brought this example of two people shechting one animal in a case where it was actually shechted properly, as opposed to the Mishnah there was talking about things that were shechted improperly, okay? Or there was a mess up, you know, there was a mess up somewhere along the way. But they also could have added a case, since they were talking about cases where maybe you'd be Metamei Begadim and one shlav and you wouldn't in another shlav, it should have added this one. So the obvious answer is going to be, right, so let's just read a little more, right? So they say, so according to that, that's one thing. And then it says, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Nami Liflo. And even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, if you don't hold two people with one animal, it couldn't be that, but I could give another example. Liflo, Kigon de Shachat, here's the second part of Rabbi's question. Kigon de Shachat Gavra b'shnei Sudavim. Let's say, okay, they give an example. What does it mean, a sudar? It's like a turban he was wearing on his head. So when he started the shechita, he was wearing one turban. And then by the end of the shechita, he was wearing a different one. Now you might say, how could that possibly happen? So they explain, well, it means like somebody else came over and switched his turban for some reason. Okay, so he was wearing one thing and then someone switched it and they put on something else. That's why I assume they're talking about a head covering and not something else, because who's going to start changing his clothes in the middle? But basically, why didn't they bring up a case where someone switches, you know, some sort of part of his clothing? And then we would say, well, if yesh no l'shchita mitzchila v'atzof, then we would say, that would make sense in the context of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah doesn't distinguish. But if you'd say, ein l'shchita el v'atzof, then you would say, one is, the first one's tameh, I'm sorry, only the second one is tameh and not the first, because shchita only kicks in at the end. And it didn't distinguish, so there you see. So both those questions are against the shita of ein l'shchita el v'atzof. What in his basic shita is, well, if it didn't distinguish in the Mishnah, then it must not be a distinction. So what does the Gemara answer? Ela bipsula de para kamayre, b'hachshara lo kamayre. The two examples you brought are when the animal is shechted properly and everything's done totally properly. It's just there was some switch in the middle of something. But or there were two people, or, you know. But, right, there was either a switch of people or a switch of clothing. But the Mishnah was all talking about cases where the para got messed up. So that wasn't the topic of the Mishnah. So you can't give me a proof from what it didn't say in the Mishnah if the Mishnah was not even dealing with cases like that. And therefore, it throws out his questions. Okay, now we're going to have a question on another question on Ein L'shchita El L'vasof. Okay, just to get the structure, we have three questions here. The first one was on Yeshna L'shchita Mitchila V'atzof. Rava rejected that question. Then Rava himself said, but I would ask a question on the other Shita. Right, both from the same source, and now we're going to have a third source, and that source is going to go against the just like Rava Ein L'shchita El L'vasof. Matav Rav Yidi Bar Avin Uben Moed. Okay, now we have to get some background. We're talking about a Korban Pesach. If you remember, we have a Korban Pesach that's done not in the right time. If you sacrifice it not on Yudalad in the afternoon, then we assume it becomes a shlamim. Okay, because it's a type of shlamim, and we're going to basically call that a shlamim. Okay. However, there's certain cases where we're going to see, okay, it has to be that you didn't do it lishmo. But if you did it l'shem Pesach in the wrong time, then that's a disqualified korban. Okay, that's the first information you have to know. If you did l'shem Pesach, it's going to be disqualified. There's another thing which is called lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, which means you can't on Pesach have chametz in your house while you're doing a korban, or in your possession while you're doing a korban on Chag Pesach. Okay, so now we're going to talk about a korban that you did, shelo lishmo. Now, you're only over on this lo taaseh, you get malkot for it, if it was actually a proper korban. If the korban was disqualified, then you're not chayav on the lo taaseh of lo tishkot ha-chametz dam zivchi, because it actually wasn't a good korban. So if you were to do the Pesach in a way that's a disqualified way, okay, now we're now talking about you're in Chag Pesach, but you're not on Yud Dalid. You're now like in one of the middle days of Pesach, or the end of whatever day of Pesach, and you bring this sacrifice. Okay, you take this sacrifice that was supposed to be a Pesach, but you're now in the middle of the Chag where you can't bring it, and you bring it. So now we're going to have different options. You could bring it lishmo, l'shem korban Pesach, in which case it's disqualified. You could do it shelo lishma, and then what will it be? It'll be a shlamim, and it'll be a good korban. If it's a good korban, then you're going to be chayav al lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Okay, so in order to be chayav, that has to be a good korban. So let's read inside. Ubimoed lishmo patur shelo lishmo chayav. So that's what we just said. If you bring a korban Pesach, right? There's no way you could have learned that from those five words, right? Those six words. But now that's what it means. In a chag, okay, if you do it on the chag, and you take your korban Pesach, and you do it lishmo, l'shem korban Pesach, you're going to be patur from lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, because it's a disqualified korban. Okay, so basically it means, if the korban is disqualified, then you're going to be patur from this chiyuv. Shelo lishmo, if you do it shelo lishmo, then chayav. Now, and they said about this, Tama de shelo lishmo. But there's another, there's a third option. You could do it l'shem Pesach, you could do it l'shem shlamim, or you could do it stam, without saying anything. All you do is, you take this sacrifice that was designated to be a korban Pesach, it wasn't used for Pesach, and you just sacrifice it. So now, what do they assume? That since it said shelo lishmo, you're going to be chayav, they assume ha-stama, but if you just did it stam, patur, because otherwise it could have just said lishmo patur and anything else chayav. But since it didn't say anything else chayav, it said only shelo lishmo chayav. So that means that if you actually did it stam without saying anything, what would we say? You'd be patur. That would also be disqualified. Okay? So if you take this Korban Pesach, was designated the animal that was designated for Korban Pesach, you sacrifice it on one of the days of Pesach, it's an invalid Korban, which means that you're not going to be chayav from lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Again, this is only if you have chametz in your possession. There's a person who has chametz in their possession while they're sacrificing a Korban on Chag Pesach, so they're going to be patur. V'amai patur. Pesach b'shar yimot ha-shana shlamim hu. Right? But why should it be patur? Because don't we always say that if you take a Korban Pesach and you shecht it on any of the other days of the year, it's considered a shlamim, even if it's stam. So what are we going to assume here? Shmamina, what can one infer from here? We're not yet connecting it to our case. Pesach b'shar yimot ha-shana by Akira. According to this, it sounds like if you want to take a Korban Pesach and shecht it l'shem shlamim, it needs to be uprooted from its Pesach designation, and you have to actually say, I'm doing it l'shem shlamim in order for it to work as a shlamim. And if you don't, it's a disqualified korban. Akira means you have to, you know, call it something else. You have to actually do an action rather than, or, you know, even verbal action, but rather than just doing it stam. Okay, so far, remember, we want to get back to that this is a koshi on the shita, eina l'shchita ela levasov. So, hold off. Ve'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, Nizrika mipi chavura, that means the rabbis were got together and all said this. V'amru, and they said, and this was, maybe you say Nizrika was thrown in front of them, and they said, or it was thrown out of them or something, and this is what they said. Hacha b'mayaskinan, what case is this referring to that you would need akira here, that stam would be patur? Kigon shayu ba'alim t'me emetim, dinidchim lepesach sheni, distama lishmokai. V'hayhu d'bai akira, ha'acher lo bai akira. This need for akira is only in a case, let's give the other case, if you started with a Korban Pesach, and you designated the animal before Pesach, comes Pesach, you didn't use it. What are we going to assume? Obviously now the animal is going to be just a shlamin because you have no use for it anymore. There you don't need akira. You only need akira in which case? In a case where you have to do Pesach Sheni, in which case this animal that you designate still has something to go for, right? It can still be used in another month from now. So that needs akira if you're going to do it as a shlamim, and if you do it stam in the middle of Pesach, it doesn't turn into a shlamim without you saying, I'm doing this l'shem shlamim. Okay, so where does this bring us? So I amar bishlama yeshna l'shchita mitchila vad sof, I pasile mitchilat shchita. Ela I amar eina l'shchita ela levasof, kevan deshachat beporta idchele mipesach. Idach ki shachat shlamim kashachet. Okay, let's start from the end. If you say the one that gets, if you the question actually, if you say eina l'shchita ela levasof, then you take this korban that you could use for Pesach Sheni, okay? But you start shechting it on Pesach. So at that moment that you start shechting, even though you haven't done an act, you haven't said, I'm doing this l'shem shlamim, as you start your shechita, you're basically saying, I'm doing it l'shem shlamim, because you're obviously not going to use it anymore for Pesach Sheni. So if you say, yeshna eina l'shechita ela basof, then your beginning of shechita is nothing. So at the beginning of shechita, you could what are you actually doing? When you start shechting, since it's not considered the shechita yet, it could be considered a designation that you're using it for shlamim. And therefore, it's already nitche from Pesach. And therefore, when you finish the shechita, you've basically already taken it out of Pesach and turned it into shlamim. If you say that yeshna shechita mitchila v'ad sof, the moment you start shechting, you've already messed it up because that moment, it was designated for a Pesach, and you shechted it on Pesach, l'shem, you know, without saying it was l'shem shlamim. So that makes sense. But if you say en l'shchita el vasof, it doesn't make sense. So Amar le Abaye, nehi de idche le mi Pesach, midme Pesach mi idche. He says, wait a minute. When you start the shchita, it still could have the value of a Pesach. In other words, if this animal was designated for Korban Pesach, and you didn't use it for Pesach, but now you need to do it for Pesach Sheni. So there's an assumption that maybe you're shechting, when you start shechting that animal, it possibly could be that you're shechting it with the intent to take the money from that animal and buy your Korban Pesach with it. only when you finish shechita is it obvious that you're not doing that. But as you're starting, it could, right. Okay. So it could be that you still need it for Dmei Pesach. So therefore, it's not nidche yet from Pesach Sheni at the beginning of shechita. Okay? And therefore, so it could still be that you want to value it. Okay? And therefore, it doesn't prove anything about in shechita el vasof or yesh na shechita mitchila vatsof. So now they say, v'chitem abayha mada v'haracha, but wait, in order to swap an animal, it has to be alive still, to have to be able to stand, to be ne'erach, because it says, v'amad, what the pasuk is, let me just find it for a second, v'amad v'herich, something like that. It says both v'amad v'herich, okay, I forget, anyway, it says, I won't look for it now, but there's a pasuk that says it. Maybe Rashi even quotes it.
Shall stand the animal before the Kohen.
Right. Ve'hemid et ha-be'ema lefnei Hashem, something like that. Ve'erich, okay? Ve'erich ha-to ha-Kohen. Okay, so now, according to that, here it says, right, Rashi says, ve'hemid et ha-be'ema lefnei ha-Kohen, ve'erich ha-Kohen otah. Okay? And this can't stand up, because you've started shechting it, it can't stand on its legs. So what do they say? Right, Bahatnan. Now there's a bit of a problem with this Bahatnan. It doesn't, there's no Mishnah anywhere that says this, but some people say that it comes from, actually maybe this one is a Mishnah. Wait, I'm confused. There was one Mishnah today that's actually not a Mishnah. Maybe it's not this one. No, it's not on, wait one second. Yeah, I think this one's not the one that's not a Mishnah, but maybe, I don't remember. Anyway, v'hatznan shachap ashnaim o rov shnaim ba'adayin hi mefarkeset harehi kechaya l'chol dvareha. Okay, so now they say, right, that this is considered like if you shech two or the majority of two simanim and it's still moving, it's considered like it's alive. Okay, so if it's considered like it's alive, then you could still do ha'amada v'haracha. Okay, just one second. I want to see. Maybe this is a mission. I think maybe it's another place. Okay, I forget. Okay, anyway, we say that it's still alive. Basically, if it's still moving around, it's still considered alive. This is a little different. We saw before, mefarkeset, in certain cases, mefarkeset doesn't work. But they're saying in this case, it would work. And therefore, you can, hamadava haracha, they're now understanding it doesn't have to be literally that has to stand. It just has to be considered alive. Okay, so therefore, we say it could have been Dmei Pesach, and that's why in the beginning of Shechita, it's not yet, it's not like you would designate as a Shlamim, and it's not a question on Ein L'Shechita Ela Basof. Okay, that was the first section. The first section of today's staff was to finish up this Yeshna L'Shechita Mitzchila Batsof, or Ein L'Shechita Ela Basof. We brought a question on Yeshna L'Shechita, then we brought two questions on Ein L'Shechita, and we answered them all. Now we're moving on to another halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. If you shecht in two or three different places, your shechita is kshera. Okay, now what does this mean? Shnayim or shlosha makomot? Big debate. Okay, you can look at the pictures in the Quran. They're very good pictures. Okay, they show according to Rashi, it means different cuts on the. We talked about this tabat, right? The ring of the kind of different cuts on it. Like you cut in a few different places, but all like let's say from the front. Okay? You just cut in different places of it. According to, there's two different interpretations of the Shi'otot of Rav Chai Gaon, whether it's three little cuts on the same ring, just not adjacent to each other, okay? Whether it's three cuts on different parts of the ring, but, and it's, what does it mean not adjacent to each other? One is, let's say, opposite the front. One is in the middle. One is in the back, right? So the second interpretation is that it's both front, middle, and back, and also on different rings, okay? That it's, you can see the picture here. This is a good picture, right? That you cut in different places, okay. Right? You kind of on, diagonally adjacent to each other. And the fourth interpretation is Rabbeinu Hananel, where it's actually talking about the two different simanim aren't cut in the same line. So you assume you take a shechita knife and you cut in a line. So this is saying it's not in the same, you cut one siman, you cut the other siman, but you weren't in a line, in a straight line with them. Okay, so b'shnayim shosham komot. Then, of course, it would be a little difficult. Why does it say shlosha? Because according to that, it's really shnayim. You cut one seam on one place, one seam on the other place. Bit of a weakness in that, shita. Okay. So now, right, so Tosfot goes on Rashi and says, what do you mean Ashochet B'Shnayim Shalosh Makomo means you started up, you went down. One second, I just want to see one thing. Right, Shechatacham. Right, Rashi says Shechatacham B'Chazar V'Yitchil L'Shchot L'Mata O L'Mala. So he says, one second, V'Kashadim Eim Rov B'Siman. Right, in other words, don't you need Rov B'Makom Echad? So there's this whole debate about how to understand this exactly based on that. Anyway, let's go on.
It just seems to contradict something we learned before.
Yeah.
So when they cut one pipe, and then they see that maybe there was a nick in the other one, that they don't know if it was from then or from before.
Yeah, so why does that contradict it?
Because how do they know that the second cut here is from now or from before?
No, but they know that they did it. Here they did the cut. They see where they cut. There was the debate. Once you cut, you don't know. Was something already cut there before you cut it? But here we know exactly where we're cutting.
It's difficult though, it's in two different places.
Right, how you did that. You would have to have moved the knife, I guess,
yeah,
to do it there. It's a little strange, but okay. Hashchei b'shnayim v'shlosha makomot shchita tok shera. This is good shchita. Ki amarita, okay, this is what Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav. But when Rav Yehuda, this happens very often, he takes what he learned from Rav and he brings it in front of Shmuel, because why does he often do that? Because at a certain point, Rav died, and Shmuel became the Rosh Shiva, so he was learning with Shmuel, and then he mentioned all these things that Rav had said. Kamarita kamei de Shmuel, amar li, b'inan shchita meforat veleka. You need a clear shchita, like in one place. That doesn't work. How could you possibly say that? V'af, Rav Shimon ben Lakish savar, now they're bringing up, not only Shmuel says this, but also Rish Lakish savar, b'inan shchita meforat. D'amar Rish Lakish, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, minayin l'shchita she'im beforat. How do we know it has to be a clear shchita in one place? Shneimar chetz shachut l'shonam mirma daber. Okay, there. Okay, this is right. This is a good image of lashon hara. Right, people who speak lashon hara, it's like an arrow shooting through, killing a person. Okay, anyone who ever thought to maybe speak lashon hara after reading this, right? It's like a good image. And what's the connection of a chetz shachut here? How does a chetz kill? It just goes in one place. Doesn't move around, right? You don't shoot an arrow and it jumps into two different places in the person's body. So there you see, it has to be straight. Okay. Mativ Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar now asks the question. And he says, on the one who says it's pasul, if it's not meforat, okay? So, shnayim ochazin, that which was what we just saw by Shmuel and Rish Lakish, he says here we have another story. Shnayim ochazin b'sakin v'shochatin, afilu achami lamala v'achami lamata. Okay, this is the Mishnah on Amud Bet. Two people are holding a sakin. Okay, here's a nice picture in the Koran of a sakin with two handles. Okay, a shchita knife with two handles, one on either side. Two people are holding the sakin. And even echad milamala v'echad milamata shchita tok shera amai v'haleka shchita meforat. Okay, now here it seems like somehow it's unclear exactly, but that's how they're going to explain, right? It sounds like two people maybe are holding their own knives. One person cuts above, one person cuts higher up on the neck, one person cuts lower down on the neck, and they each cut a siman, let's say, or part of a siman. It works. And here, what do you say? There's no shchita meforat. This isn't. Right, this is a shchita that's all over the place. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiya, Mishnah teinu b'sakin echad u'shnei b'nei adam. That Mishnah is with one knife and two people, which means that even if they're doing lamala lamata, what does that mean? It means they're kind of on a diagonal, right? They're holding, it's the same knife, which means it's going to be cut in a straight line. It just might be, what does it mean, lamala lamata? It's on a diagonal, so they're making one cut, but it's at least all, they're making cuts in different heights, but it's all, that's right, because one starts at the top, one starts at the bottom, but it's all one cut. And therefore, it's not a problem with what we just said. It's still meforat. Amar le Rabbi Abba, ihachi, if that's the case, okay, that you say it was one sakin and two people, hainu detane ala, it says a braita on this Mishnah that says, ein choshashim shema yitarfu ze al ze. Now, what does that mean? We can understand what it means. Shema yitarfu ze al ze. Shema yitarfu ze al ze, they assume maybe one thinks that the other one cut rove and he doesn't cut rove. And as if each one's cutting in a different place, then maybe each will rely on the other. And in the end, they won't have rove simani. But mao detema, right, and here we say, mao detema lichot doma samche ahadade. Maybe they each are relying on the other if they have two different knives. V'hai lo ate le mea baruba, v'hai lo ate le mea baruba, and neither one does rove. Kamash malan de ein choshashin. Okay, this comes to teach you that we're not worried about that. That's why it says Shema Yitarfu Zalze. But Ela Iamar Besakin Achad Ushnei Bnei Adam. But if they each have the same knife, we don't have to worry about that. That's not an issue. So what's this high Ein Choshishim Shemei Yitarfuzal Zeh? What's the real concern if you have two people holding one knife? What's the major concern?
They're not going to go with the same.
Right. If you're pulling and pushing, maybe it'll end up accidentally being pushed in, which is Drisa. So it should have said Shema Yidar Suzal Zemibaile. That should have been, there was a brighter that was said about this Mishnah, Shema Yidar Suzal Zem. Should have said Shema Yidar Suzal Zemibaile. Right? Also, you imagine, why does Drisa happen with too much koch? If you have two people pushing, all the more so it could get pushed in. So Amalei Rabbi Avin Tnei and Choshashin Shema Yidrasu Zalzer. When it said Shema Yidrasu, it really meant Shema Yidrasu or change the Nusach, but maybe he just means also Trefa means that you've messed it up in some way. So it could be the concern is Shema Yidrasu. Okay. Next question. Another question on this Shita that it's Psula. Rabbi Avin Shachat Tabet, right? It has to be Meforat. It has to be, right, in one place. Rabbi Avin Shachat Tabeshet Lamata Ve'eta Kane Lamala Meforat. So first of all, this would support very much the reading of Rabbeinu Hananel. The meforat means one above, right? One siman up in one place and one siman in the other place, because this would seem to say that that would be a problem. Hu motiv la v'hu mefarik la. Okay, he said this and then he explained it. B'shchita ahasuya kikulmus. Okay, it's a shchita that's done on a diagonal again, okay? And then he basically, right, he's kind of going in one line, and then, right, Rashi says, you know, and then there's a shipua klape mata, where it ends, right? Like a kolmus, right? Sometimes you start your letter at the top, and then you go down at the bottom, right, the quill. Okay, so like that, he starts, and then he goes in one line. It's just he kind of moves, you know, moves on a diagonal downward. Okay, in which case, again, it's not a question, because it's still a case of miforat. Ha'u Torah de Ishrit b'shnayim u'shlosha mekomot. So now we're going to have a case where this actually happened. Okay, so often we have theoretical debates about things. Here's an actual practical case. There was one that was shefted in two or three places. Al Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta shakel mishufrei shufrei. Okay, he took of the best of this meat and he ate it. Amalei Rabbi Zeira. Now here there's different nuschaot of how to read this. We'll start with this one. Limaditanu Rabbeinu mishnatenu b'shnei sakinim u'shnei b'nei adam. Okay, he says, right, let me try to remember now the two nuschaot so I don't get confused by them. He says, right, by doing this, limaditanu rabbeinu, by doing this, you're teaching us that the Mishnah, where it says, shnayim ochazim b'sakin, is even two sakinim and two b'nei adam, because you took this thing, which was shefted in two or three places, and instead of saying it was pasul, like we shlakish and shmul, you actually said it was fine. Okay? So it shows that two different people can shecht with two different knives without it being a problem, because it doesn't matter if they're shechting in different places. Okay? Some people say that he was kind of saying it, is this what you're teaching us? In other words, and they, you know, and then, one second, I just want to check, because there was something I thought of when I read the Nusach, exactly how it works. Give me a minute. Right, it's in Tosfot. Okay, so look in Tosfot. Tosfot says, in the third line of Tosfot, Ubahag Garis, in the Bahag, that's a Sefer Halachot Gedolot, okay? He's called the Bahag because it's the Baal Halachot Gedolot, the guy who wrote. It's a Gaonic book, and he's quoted a lot in Tosfot, actually. Bahag Garis, Lemaditani Rabbeinu, Mishnatenu B'Sakin Echad, Ushne B'Dei Adam, Klomar, Behe'ach Ata Uchel. Didn't you teach us that the Mishnah is B'Sakin Echad, Ushne B'Nei Adam, instead of Sne Sakinim and Shne B'Nei Adam? Didn't you teach us the Mishnah is Sakin Echad Ushnei B'nei Adam, which was a nicer way of saying, how on earth are you eating this, right? Instead of being disrespectful, I thought of and saying, how on earth are you eating this? He says it, but didn't you teach us this? And then, you know, connect the dots, which would say, how can you be eating this? Okay, so then what do they say? So how could that be? Shma mina sheken halacha sheken chazar bo mimashaya ragil lefarish b'matnitin sakin echad. It must be he changes mind. In other words, he's asking, didn't we learn that Rabbi Yirmiyah said it, right? Didn't you teach us about what Rabbi Yirmiyah said, that that's the case of the Mishnah? And then it seems that he must have changed his mind about it, okay? That Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta thought that the Mishnah was like that, and that's how he taught it originally, but he changed his mind and said, no, it must be, it's two sakinim and two b'nei adam, and therefore it could be eaten like this. Okay, so it must be he changed his mind. Amarav Yehuda Amarav. Hichlid et ha-sakin ben siman le-siman. Okay, if you shechted one properly, and then when you went to shecht the second one, you stuck the knife, remember, and you put it behind the siman, and you shecht it going outwards, like toward the place where you're standing, as opposed to going inwards. Upasko, right, and he finishes the shechita. Psula. Okay, that's no good. Tahara or kshera. But if you put it, the knife, and hechlib, we said, remember, it means it's hidden. Okay, so now we're going to learn it's hidden means hidden behind one of the simanim, but not hidden by the skin. The skin is not considered something that hides the knife, because the skin, anyway, has, like, why they say skin? Because the skin is... Right.
It's going to be skinned. I mean, it's going to be
right. It's going to be skinned anyway, but it's right. It's considered something not connected to the shechita process. So because of that, it's not considered a significant issue in terms of covering it. So now they say, "My kamash malan, Tanina. Why are you teaching us this? Why does Rev have to say this? We already learned this in a Mishnah. O shechlita tasakin tachat hasheni upasko. Rabbi Shavev omer." Nivela, Rabbi Kiva Omer Trefa. Here already we have a machloket of the Mishnah, but both of them say it's lefachot a trefa, if not a nevela, if you do chalada. And what did we say about chalada? Under the second siman. So what's Rav teaching us? So they say like this. Imi matnitin havamina milamata lamala telo ka'avi kederech shchita. Ava milamala lamata te ka'avi derech shchita ema shapir dami. Kamashmalan. So what do we say? You might have thought that it was, that when it talked about in the Mishnah, okay, where the Mishnah said, "Hichlira tasakin tachar asheni upasko," we assume you're going inside and coming outward, like I said. That's the typical chalada. But from what Rav says, you can actually read it a little differently than what I said, which is, "Hichlira tasakin ben siman l'siman upasko," could mean you're still going in the direction toward the back of the neck, and you just put it in between the two simanim and push out backward to the back of the neck. And why do we think that? Because if you put it under the skin, right? What's the comparison? The comparison is to under the skin. Under the skin, you're obviously going in the direction toward the back of the neck. You wouldn't be going, right? There's no way to get to the siman from under the skin going toward the, right, facing you. So therefore, it must be what Rav is teaching you is even if you go that in the from the inside to the back, it would still be a problem. Tachara or kshera. Be Rav Amre, tachara or eni yodea. Okay, from the house of Rav, they said, we're actually not sure. In other words, tachada or, it's a question whether it is or not. And then he ba'ilu lebe Rav, da'amre tachada or eni yodea, tachat matalit ma'u. So then they asked a question. According to those in the house of Rav who say that tachada or, I'm not sure what the story is, what if you put it under something, and tachada or, we said it's something chitzoni, right, external to shchita, but it's still part of the animal. What if you took something totally external, like a rag, you know, or a towel or a matlit, right? Some sort of cloth. What if you put that over your knife and shechted like that? Would that possible it? Tachat semer misubach mahu. What if it's under the fur, right? The woolly part of the animal where it's, okay, so the question is, some people say, well, if your question was about a matlit, what, and as the order of makes no sense. It should be skin, wool, and then totally external, but some people say no. What's the difference? A matlit is totally covered, whereas the wool is not 100% hidden underneath there because you could kind of see through. Anyway, the answer to all these questions is teku. Okay, Baira Papa hichlid b'miutzi manim mahu. Okay, what if it? Okay, here's a big debate about what this means. Okay, if okay, look at Rashi. Rashi says hichlid b'miutzi manim, which means. Lachar sheshachat rubo behechsher, and then you do chalada. You do rove, fine, and then you're machlid the sakin and finish the rest of it off. Okay, is that a problem? Now you can obviously imagine that some people say, "What are you talking about?" Okay, Tosfot goes against Rashi and says, "What are you talking about? Once you do rove, obviously it's good shchita. What does it matter what you do after rove? Rove already takes care of it." So it says in Tosfot, if you look in right where the lines get wide and but the in-between, there's really long lines and in-between lines. So the in-between on Tosfot, it says, Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam b'miut kama. It must be where you did a little bit of the first siman, but you didn't finish it. And then you did chalada, okay? Because it says otherwise it makes no sense. There's a bit of a debate about what exactly this question is. And the Gemara says, teiku. Okay, we don't know the answer. Okay, new Mishnah. Hashochet shnei rashim ke'echad. Okay, now we get to this. We saw this before. You slaughter two heads at once. shchitato kshira, okay? Meaning, you take your knife. Now, we saw the shchita knife, it's very long, okay? So, and today we're going to see why it's so long. And you basically do a holacha, right? You do a motion to two animals at once. It works. Shnayim ochazim b'sakin v'shochatin afilu achad lemala v'achad lemata. Okay, this is what we also just saw. Two people are holding one knife. Again, we don't know, one knife or two knives. That's the debate. How do we read this Mishnah? Remember, Birmiya said it's two people holding one knife. V'shochatin afilu achad lemala v'achad lemata shchitato kshira. He teizet harosh bevat achat. If you cut off the head in 1 second, like that, haya shochet, okay, psula. Okay, that's called, that's drasa, right? You basically, you kind of chop into the head. But haya shochet, if you were doing the holacha, and, you know, you're a very good shochet, let's say, and as you're doing the holacha, it just basically knocks off the head, okay? Tiz terosh bevat achat, im yesh besakim malei tzavar kshera. If you have a knife that's as long as two necks of a bird, okay, of an animal, meaning that, right, that's why we have this very long knife, because it's a knife that could, the point is, if you do one holacha motion before you even do the back and forth, you've cut off the head, so if the knife is very long, then it makes sense that that could happen. If your knife is very short, then you must have pushed it in somewhat, because that's not enough of a cut to be able to do it. And that explains why the knife is so long, because they want to make sure that we don't passel your shchita by having the whole, you know. So we make a knife very long, so if you do it in one act and it comes off, I mean, I assume that's why the knife is long. Let's say you're doing two animals and then you knock them both off. If you have three knives, what it means, it means an extra. So if you have three neck lengths of your knife is super long, then it's fine. Okay, right? If you're pushing it back and not forth, or you're pushing it forth and not back. Okay, you did one motion. But if you had a small knife or some little utensil and you did a back and forth motion and the head came off, that's fine. That's for sure fine. Okay? It's only, this whole thing we're only talking about if you did it in one direction. Okay. Minani mile. How do we know that? Okay, now it's a bit of a question, right? How do we know what? Okay? How do we know that you can't just, right, I assume we're talking about, how do we know that you can't just chop off the head in one?
Pressing and chopping.
Right, the pressing is a psul, right? The drisa is a psul. So yeah. The Mefreshim asked, what do you mean? We don't have psukim for any of, remember we said, all five psulim are all halacha l'moshe misinai. So how are we trying, right? Why are we trying to find a pasuk for this? But in any case, they find psukim. Again, I wouldn't say there are proofs in the pasuk that this is a psul, but they're connecting it to psukim, as our usual. You know, it's a good mnemonic device, good way to remember. Da'amar kra chet shachut l'shona mirmad diber. I think it's Mirmad Diber. Actually, didn't look at it. Nikud is on that. Chet shachut l'shona Mirmad Diber. Right, Diber b'piv shalomet re'eu yedaber b'kirbo yasim arba. Okay. So he says, there you see, right? It's a chet shachut, right? So how do we get it from here? Because it's just like it goes. How does a chet go? Right, this is actually, I don't know, it's not necessarily the best proof because the chetz kind of goes inside, but the point is it goes in a forward motion, okay? So because of that, they say it goes b'holacha. So shchita also has to be done like that. Okay. Tanit b'Rabbi Yishmael, v'shachat, en v'shachat ela u'mashach. Okay, v'shachat means mishicha. That's what it means. It means, you know, going forward. Like, what's the word? What's the best translation? Mashach generally means to pull, but here it means, what word do they use in the English?
Draw.
To draw. Okay, to draw. Right, I guess they're talking with the arrow. They must be talking about the action of drawing the arrow back. That must be what they're referring to. Okay, so, shchit v'shachat means to draw. V'chein ho'omer, zahav shachut. Okay, which means gold that's pull, you know, that's soft gold that you can pull. You can basically draw back. Va'omer chet shachut l'shona mirmad diber. Okay, he's also bringing that pasuk. So now they say, my va'omer, why do you say both? V'chitem azahav shachut shenitve kechut. Who? Tashma chet shachut l'shona. In other words, why did he need both? Because zahav shachut could be that it was like woven like a chut. And a shachut is shechut, okay? And not shachut, okay? So therefore, I'm going to bring the chet shachut as a good proof that that's the way it is. Okay, we'll stop here now, and we'll learn tomorrow about Rava, who shot arrows at birds and said that was good, and how could that be, and we'll get back to that tomorrow.